Welcome to this presentation from the Downey Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are located in the greater Los Angeles area at 9820 Lakewood Boulevard in Downey, California. We would love to have you worship with us any Saturday you are in our area.
Well, good morning. Second week of the new year. Why does it seem like we've already been in 2024 for like 6 months? I don't know. The first 2 weeks have been chock full of stuff. Last week, Pastor started out our sermon series better, and he talked about what? Better priorities. Having better priorities. And, you know, we're all busy. We've all got a long list of to-dos, and we rarely get down to the bottom of that to-do list, right? That stuff always carries over to the next day. But have you noticed that the important things get done, right? If you think it's important not to smell like the trash bin, you have time to take a shower. If it's important to have a little bit of money and be able to pay your rent, you find time to go to work. If it's important for you to work out, you have time to go to the gym, right? Well, the important things get done. And Pastor last week talked about if we made our number one priority God. Now, as Christians, we always say, you know, Jesus number one. But what if we really went all in and went hard on that? How would our lives look different? I bet you'd have time to read your Bible. You'd have time for prayer. Maybe you'd even have a little time to volunteer at church and help in one of the ministries somewhere. So that was last week's message. We did a good job. This week we're going to be talking about better relationships. And I hope we're going to discover that the people that we surround ourselves with make a huge, huge difference on our lives. Now, coming up in February, we're doing another little short series on relationships. We're going to get much deeper into relationships. But you know, there's kind of two sides to any relationship, right? There's how I affect the relationship, and there's how the other person affects the relationship. Today, we're going to kind of be looking at the other person. We're going to save the how do I affect it for February. So that's coming. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And to get us prepped for that, there's a book by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Have you heard of this book? It's a good book. And he gives us five things that we can do to help develop very meaningful relationships. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because, like I said, we're saving this for February. But I put it there in your notes. Get out your sermon notes and let's blast through these kind of quick. They're pretty self-explanatory. Number one, be genuinely interested in other people, right? You've heard the saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? Be interested in other people. Number two, smile. Smile. I know some of you young men trying to be tough, don't want to smile. Some of you ladies maybe trying to look sultry, don't want to smile. Smile, it's a good look for everybody. Number three, remember names. Remember names. And I got to tell you, I have to confess, this is so hard for me. If I meet you, I will remember your face till the day I die, and I will forget your name in 3 minutes. Yeah, so if I have to ask you your name multiple times, please forgive me and know that I am trying so hard. What was it? Joe? John? Number four, be a good listener. When you meet somebody, and maybe for the first time you're at a party or some event, and you meet somebody, and they start talking about one of their hobbies or something they like, and you don't know anything about it, be a good listener. Ask questions. Try and pull some stuff out of them. Number five, talk in terms of the other person's interest. Don't just try and get the conversation back to something you're interested in, but talk about what they're interested in. Now, out of these five, real quick, shout out, what's the hardest one?
Three.
Three? Three? We're pretty much all agreed it's number three. Or maybe we have to start wearing name tags or something, so. You can't trust me around name tags anyway, because I'll switch with somebody and then you'll. The truth is that you and I were created for relationships. God made us to be in a relationship, and we live our best lives when we are in the context of a community. The problem is we don't always choose the best community around us. Sometimes we can do better, and the Bible gives us some really practical ways to do that. So open your Bibles with me. Proverbs 12, verse 26. Proverbs 12, verse 26. This morning in Sabbath School, we were talking about Psalms and Proverbs, and we said that Proverbs has a lot of horizontal wisdom, how to deal with the people around us, okay? And this is a bit of that wisdom. You there? Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. People who live righteous lives choose their friends carefully. Okay? They make a concerted effort to know who their friends are, because good relationships are not left to chance. Good relationships are not left to chance. The righteous people know the kind of person they want to be. They're following Jesus. They want to be more like Jesus. And they surround themselves with people that have that same goal. Amen? If you want to be more like Jesus, why would you surround yourself with people that are headed the other direction? Right? Gustavo and his welcome didn't know that I was going to say this. He stole the line, right? It shows how genius it is. Righteous people look for people that help them make a better version of themselves. But not everybody helps us become better. Some people help us become bitter. Right? We got to be careful about those kinds of people. See, choosing your friends could be a little bit like an art gallery and some graffiti on the wall. Both are very colorful, both have artistic value. But the art gallery is curated, right? There's a theme to this art. It's all by the same artist. It's all portraits. It's all pencil drawings. It's all impressionistic. Whatever the theme is, there's a theme to that art. The graffiti under the overpass, on the other hand, is pretty chaotic. And some people paint some amazing works of art. But what happens? Somebody comes along and paints over it. Covers half of it up, scribbles on it, whatever. It's chaos. Pick your friends like we pick art for the art gallery. Curate that friend list. Manage that friend list. Don't let it be like the graffiti under the overpass. Right? There's value in having that. See, because if we just let whoever be our friends, we may find ourselves surrounded by people we never intended to be surrounded with, going someplace we never wanted to go, being the kind of people we never wanted to be. So you've got to manage that friend list. And I don't want to say that sometimes we need to pick new friends, but Sometimes we need to pick new friends. Now, some of us that have gone through Alcohol Anonymous or some kind of drug recovery, you know that you have to pick new friends. Because those friends were taking you down a road and you have made the decision not to go down that road anymore and you want to take a different path. You got to find some new friends that are headed not down that road anymore, right? Some of us have been there, we know. Does that mean you just shut those people out of your life? I hope not. But maybe you manage that relationship and how close you let them in. See, because if some of you are paying attention, right about now you're asking a question. You're saying, Bill, for the past 30 years, you've been telling us to go out and make friends for Jesus. And now you're telling me, pick my friends carefully. Isn't that a contrast? Nope. Well, wait a minute. You just told me to pick my friends carefully, but you didn't tell me to make friends with everybody. How is that not a contrast? Well, we have different kinds of friends, right? You have friends that we might call more of acquaintances, people at work, maybe some people in the neighborhood. You know them, you're friendly towards them, but, you know, they're not BFFs, right? And then there's people that are a little closer, and then you've got some close friends, right? We're talking about the close friends. Manage those people that have influence on your life. Okay? Those people that when you're saying, man, I'm struggling in my relationship with my spouse, or I'm struggling with my teenage kids are killing me, or I'm struggling, whatever those struggles of life are, who are you going to go talk to? Those close friends or that random workmate that sits three cubes over? Right? It's that close friend. So manage those. And Jesus models this perfectly for us, right? Jesus has the crowds that surround him continuously. And he loves those people. He pours his soul into those people. He's preaching, he's healing, he's feeding them. He weeps for them. He really puts a lot of effort in those people. I'd say he loves those people. But those people don't have any influence in his life. Then there's the 70 disciples, another group. Then we start getting down to the 12. Now, he's really put a lot of effort into these 12. And even within the 12, there's three, Peter, James, and John, who seem to be even closer and get more access to Jesus. Because Jesus is curating his friend list. And we need to be friendly to people that are far from God. And we need to be trying to influence them in. But that's not the people we want in our inner circle that are influencing our lives. Okay, so you get where I'm coming from now with this? Kind of the difference in these. Okay? And we see this coming true because Jesus didn't leave his friendship to chance. He chose them wisely. And he gives us a good example that we should look for godly attributes in our close friends, right? Look for people that are trying to follow Jesus. Look for people who want to be better Christians, who are trying to grow spiritually. Make those people your close friends. Amen? Fortunately, Paul gives us some advice on this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. See, this has been a problem since nearly the beginning of time. And Paul wrote about this in the first century. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. Some of you may be realizing, hey, I know what 1 Corinthians 13 is about. What do we call this chapter? The love chapter. So it talks about love. And a lot of times when we talk about this, we talk about people that are very close. Maybe a spouse or maybe a family member, a child, how we love them. That's great. But how do we love the people that are out there, the crowd, the workmates, the guy that you sit or you see every day on the bus when you're going to work or the train? How do we love that guy? So let's read this with that kind of lens on, those people that are maybe a little bit in the exterior. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. I don't know about you, but if I could find friends that had that characteristic list, I'm all in. That's somebody I want to be friends with. Amen? And I've been lucky in my life to have a few people that I would say met that list of qualifications and were my friends. And most of the time, those friends were born out of a time of trouble, a time of turbulence, a time of things not going well. Right? That's how we become friends. And then you start seeing these guys are living life a different way. These are the kind of guys that have your back. These are the kind of people that help. And when you're talking to them about some private struggle you're having, you don't have to worry about the whole world knowing about it tomorrow. Because they know how to protect and trust and honor a friendship. They're good friends to have. Jackie Robinson. You guys know who Jackie Robinson was?
Yep.
First black athlete to play in Major League Baseball. And he had a rough time. I mean, he would get jeered and booed in every stadium they went to. One time they were playing in his home stadium, Brooklyn, New York. He committed an error on the field, and the fans began to heckle him. And as he stood there at second base, he played second base. He stood there at second base just humiliated while the fans booed and cheered and just made fun of him. And he just felt so alone. So, like, the whole world was against him. And all of a sudden, Pee Wee Reese, the shortstop, came over and puts his arms around Jackie's shoulders and stands there and faces the crowd with him. And the crowd grows silent. And later, Jackie Robinson would say, that arm around my shoulders saved my career. And some of us need a Pee Wee Reese to come stand next to us and face down the jeering crowds in our lives, whatever that is, whatever temptation or addiction or problem or issue that is. And some of us need to be Pee Wee Reese to somebody else. Maybe some of us have been through that particular battle. Maybe you haven't. Pee Wee Reese was white. He didn't know what it was like to be black and be cheered at. But he stood next to his friend anyway. You don't have to have gone through the problems to stand by your friend. It's important for us to have godly friendships and to look out for one another. And that leaves us a question of what kind of friend am I? Right? If we want to have better relationships, We need to be better friends, right? We've got to look for a way to be better and not just expect other people to do stuff to us, but return it to them. There's a deep connection that's made as being part of God's family. You know, and I know we offer online messages, and I'm glad that we do that because some people physically can't be here. But as much as possible, I encourage you to be here because that's where connections are made. That's where the friendships develop. That's where you find the Pee Wee Reese's in your life that will stand next to you when you need them. It's important for us to be together and to come together. There was a bit of practical advice given to us in an article in the Daily Walk in 1993. It's kind of a little satire piece, and it's just a bunch of little short statements, kind of like bullet points. And the title of this article was, How to Be Miserable. Think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Be jealous and envious. Be sensitive to slights. Never forgive a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful for the favors you show them. Never forgive a service you have rendered. And shirk your duties if you can. Do as little as possible for others. I think that's great advice to be miserable. But maybe if we did that the other way around, we wouldn't be so miserable. What if we weren't all about me and I? What if we weren't envious and jealous? What if we didn't expect to be appreciated? What if we did as much as possible for others? Jesus is our greatest example for building better relationships. He was the standard for living in humility and service. And through his death and his life, he demonstrated how to love others well. So pay close attention to the people you let into your inner circle. Are they going where you want to go? Let's look at Romans 12, verse 10, real quick. Romans 12, verse 10, real quick. Give me an amen when you get there. Be devoted to one another in what? Love. Honor one another above what? Yourselves. Perfect advice for being a good friend. Perfect advice for being a good friend. Am I a good friend? Do I have good friends? It's a question worth reflecting on. And your challenge this week is to curate your close friend list. Manage that list. Make sure you're only allowing the right people to be close to you. People that are going to a place you want to be. Right? Don't hang out with the people that are going somewhere you don't want to be. That doesn't end well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wisdom your book gives us about our friends and picking our friends. Thank you for the example that you set on how to be a good friend. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Help us to be wise in the people that we allow to be close to us. Help us to be wise in the people we allow to have influence in our lives. And Lord, help us to be generous with the people that are outside that sphere that we're trying to lead somewhere else. Lord, we ask that you be with us this week. Give us wisdom in dealing with the people around us. Be with us and bring us back again. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.